Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We've got some wonderful things in store for you on today's broadcast. There's going to be a song by Waylon and Dr. Nina, and then John and Martha are going to present a presentation on the five love languages, one of the five love languages. We're going to hear the children sing. Morgan's going to play, and there'll be more that will be introduced as we go along. We begin today with a song by two of my favorite singers, Brother Waylon and Sister Nina. They're going to sing a song that gives a powerful message no matter what you're going through today. Hold on a little longer. Help is on the way.
A woman in the Bible days, her last meal almost gone. But God sent Elijah to make his word known. He said, woman, don't you worry, for God sent me today. And before you even asked him, help was on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day is coming in for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. So just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Troubles of this life come by, and burdens get you down. You think no one is listening, you think no one's around. Just remember what his word says, trust him and obey. Keep your eyes toward the heavens, 'cause help is on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. Thank you.
The following presentation is by Brother John and Sister Martha. It's actually edited excerpts from their presentation. We've been studying as a group in some of our group gatherings about The Five Love Languages, a book by Gary Chapman. Now, the Bible is always our primary textbook, always certainly will be, and we examine everything in the light of Scripture. For example, after these presentations, then we go through the Bible and look up Bible verses and see how they relate. And so the Bible is always the standard for our teaching. But we do like to read what authors have said and ideas they have had. And Gary Chapman came out with a wonderful book called The Five Love Languages. We pass it out a lot in marriage counseling. We bought many copies of it through the years. And we've been doing a five-week class on it for those who were interested. This particular presentation is out of Chapter 7 of the book. Some of the material is directly from there by Gary Chapman. And it's entitled Acts of Service. That's love language number 4. They begin with a little skit that they did for us, and then we have some edited excerpts from their presentation from Dr. Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages.
You're really enjoying that book.
Yes, there's quite a few truths in it. I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
I'm glad to see you relaxing and doing something besides working. I think I'm going to take the dog out.
Okay.
And get some fresh air. Oh, it's such a pretty day out here. I always know it's spring when the sun's shining, the fresh air blowing, the frogs come and live on the porch. Oh, I think I'll water this plant. It looks like it's a little wilty. Oh, there's one of those frogs in the rainwater. John, could you help me? I have a frog in the rainwater.
Okay. You know, they won't hurt you.
I know. They're just slimy and icky. Ooh.
Well, they're not too bad.
Ooh.
Look.
Now, that really happened at our house the other day. So, in Matthew 5:41, it says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too." As a spouse and a believer in Christ, we should be willing to go the second mile, not because we are forced to do so, but because we choose to. John chose to get the frog out of the water. Our author talks about a primary love language called acts of service. By acts of service, I mean things you know your spouse would like you to do. You seek to please them by serving them, to express your love for them by doing things for them. Such actions as cooking a meal, setting a table, washing dishes, vacuuming, dusting a bookcase, keeping the car in operating condition, paying the bills, trimming the shrubs, walking the dog, changing the litter box, are all acts of service. They require thought, planning, time, effort, and energy. If done with a positive spirit, they are indeed expressions of love.
Expressing in the way in which our spouse requests will make our love more effective. In other words, if you're trying to do things that you know will please them or help them, then they're going to realize that you're doing that out of love. Request from one another rather than demands, it works a whole lot better. Criticism and demands tend to drive wedges. With enough criticism, you may get acquiescence from your spouse. They may do what you want, but probably will not be with an expression of love. You can give guidance to love by making requests rather than demands. Criticism is an ineffective way of pleading for love. If we understand that, it may help us to process the criticism in a more productive manner. So if you're getting criticism, if you can stop long enough to go, this is something they need, they just don't know how to ask for it.
Manipulation by guilt, if you were a good spouse, you would do this for me, is not the language of love. Coercion by fear, you will do this or you will be sorry. Allowing oneself to be used or manipulated by another is not an act of love. It is, in fact, an act of treason. You are allowing him or her to to develop inhumane habits.
Kind of a little summary, if your spouse's love language is acts of service, then some of the things you can do, you can make a list of all the requests your spouse has made of you over the past few weeks. Select one of these each week and do it as an expression of love. Ask your spouse to make a list of 10 things he or she would like for you to do during the next month. You can ask them to prioritize them. Seek to work these into your daily schedule. Little things really do mean a lot.
In the background, you're hearing Morgan playing a great old gospel song on the piano. It's a song with a powerful message. It says, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" It's an old standard hymn. Now, Morgan's just been playing for a very few days. She's one of Sister Yvonne's piano students, and we've played some of them already for you on the radio. We're so proud of all these young musicians who are just starting out and giving their talent to the Lord. And I'm amazed at how quickly they're developing ability just beginning. You know, somebody said the greatest ability is availability, and I'm so proud of the talent that's being developed. We're so blessed as a church. I've been asked, how do you have all those singers and all those musicians? Well, we encourage it, and we encourage it from a very young age. And I'm so proud of Morgan. She's a very talented young lady and is going to make a great pianist for the Lord and Savior. How we want to encourage all of these dear young people in their pursuit of excellence for the Lord Jesus Christ and the way they commit themselves and faithfully practice. God bless you, Morgan. You're doing wonderful. And all of those who are beginning in their ministry in this area of music, God bless you. There's something so wonderful about young people and children serving the Lord. Listen now as a children's group quotes scripture and sings the praise of the Lord.
God did lighten it.
And the Lamb is the light thereof.
Revelation 21:26. Amen. Didn't they do good? Wonderful. Many of you may not know, but there has been a transition in who leads that group. My wife did for a while, Angie, and then she has stepped into the youth department. And it has been taken over by Amy Pirtle and Angela Payrot. And may I say publicly, they are doing a tremendous job. Wonderful. Oh, I love to see kids quote scripture and sing praises to Christ. That is wonderful. Sing with us, Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness.
The title of our message today is A Biblical Confession of Faith. What is a biblical confession of faith? Are you a believer? Have you made a confession of faith? We're going to talk today about the work of the Holy Spirit in confession. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 18 down through verse 20, we'll read portions of the verses. Jesus said, "You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony." Then he said in verse 19, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." We're talking today about making a public confession of faith. Biblical confession is about speaking truth, the truth about our sins, the truth about the Savior. And biblical confession is Spirit-produced. Now, when we think of confession, we usually think of the confession of sin to man or to God. And that certainly is a biblical confession, to confess that you have sinned. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And it goes on to say, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But it says, confess your faults one to another. And notice the word faults there is plural, not just singular. We all have faults. And this word in the Greek is a word that means a side slip, a transgression, a sin, a trespass would be one of the meanings of the word. This word is used in a number of verses in our Bible. A few examples where that particular Greek word is used. In Romans 4:25, the Bible says he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And so that's what we're confessing, that we have offended. We are sinners. The Bible says in Romans 5:15, not as the offense, same word, so also as the free gift. For through the offense, there's the word again, of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And so sin is, by definition, a stepping out of bounds. It is transgressing the law of God. And we've all sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We stepped out. But by God's grace, he invites us to step back in. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, and there's that word, unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And so God says, confess your sins. Confess that you are a sinner. No one could list all of their sins, but just admit that you have sinned. Now, if you want help when you've done wrong, you'd better confess to one that's interested in helping you and restoring you. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, at a human level, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, there's that same Greek word again, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The word restore, get them back where they need to be, where they once were. You see, we are fallen creatures by sin, but in Christ we have, in the regeneration of the message of the gospel, we have restoration. When you are confessing at a human level, you better only confess to one that will pray for you, to help you, one that has no desire to hurt you. A gossip can never confess to another gossip. The good news of the gospel is that God loves you and he wants to help you. And when you confess to him, he wants to forgive you and to restore you. Now, confession can totally change your circumstance. I'm talking about confessing to God that you've sinned and you need forgiveness. In Psalms 32:1, the psalmist David said, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And of course, that's by the blood of Christ, which washes away all sin. He said in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You know, when you confess your sin to God, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin. A confession actually activates heaven or releases the power of God in your life. In Matthew 10:32-3, Jesus said these words concerning confession of faith in Christ. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And so the thing you need to realize today is that it's not enough just to confess your sin, but you confess the Savior as the one who can save you and cleanse you and forgive you from your sin. And when you do that, heaven is affected. Even the angels are affected. In Luke 12:8-12, the Lord Jesus said, "I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." And so it's a very serious thing to fail to confess the Lord as your Savior. You see, confession activates help. It activates forgiveness. It activates release. I'm talking about confession of sin for cleansing and confession of Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. You know, even as a Christian, when you sin, you have a promise in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what you've done, no matter how great you may think your sin is, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse you from your sin. Now, the confession of the mouth is intended by God to be a revelation of the heart. Make no mistake, no one is saved by works. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. No, never. It is by the grace of God. And salvation is really an inside-out thing. It's something God does in the heart, and it's something God does, and then out of the heart, believing heart, you make a confession. A false confession would mean nothing. If it's not in your heart, then it would not mean anything to God. In Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." And he also warned that there are many deceivers. In 2 John 1:7, he said, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And so today it's so critical and so important that when you do make a confession, that you are sincere in it. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to get a confession out of you, but He wants to work something in you that then would be worked out in your life. It's an inside-out job. It's a heart job. Not just a head job, but it's a heart job. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the work in the heart. He convicts you of sin. You confess your sin, your need of a Savior, and you confess in faith that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. In Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You could do it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and never be ashamed to confess him as your Savior. You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.